Welcome to today's product podcast on the dynamics of the skin microbiome and approaches to restoring it for skin benefits, sponsored by CLR. I'm Rachel Grabenhofer, Managing Editor of Cosmetics and Toiletries, and I recently had the pleasure of speaking with Harold Vanderhoven, Director of Technical Marketing for the company. He enlightened me with insights about the epidermal versus follicular microbiome and how these require different approaches to restore skin balance and reduce acne and dandruff, respectively. He also presented the company's solutions for each of these. Let's listen in.
Can you talk about how important you think the skin microbiome is to skin and how important these microbiome-focused products are for skin and how effective they are?
That's two or three short questions with potentially a very long answer. We think that the skin microbiome is really important. We know that in a negative context, so to say, of acne and dandruff, and that we know from atopic dermatitis, there's a microbial challenge as well, but from a healthy point of view, so when skin is healthy and probably then also, or most probably, or certainly the microbiome is healthy of the skin, what role does it play for our skin? We think it plays a very important role, but we don't understand it very well. We know that those bacteria which normally reside on skin, on a healthy skin, healthy microbiome, is important for the barrier function of skin, for its immunological capacity. As a newborn baby, it plays a role in training your immune system, your skin's immune system. The skin is obviously immunologically really active, but we don't really understand it very well, especially in the context of the complexity of the composition. There's hundreds, if not to say thousands, of different species of bacteria and strains of bacteria on our skin, and every person has a different bacteria, or at least there's not one person with the same bacterial composition or microbial composition as the other person, so that makes it hugely complex. But we do think it is hugely important for the health of our skins. I think this is reflected now in the cosmetic industry. So the cosmetic industry is seeing the importance, realizing the importance of the microbiome for the skin, and sees it as a commercial opportunity. Also in the light of the fact that consumers understand the notion of good microbes, especially through, you know, the probiotic lysates or the probiotic drinks, I mean, which people believe in, that they work for them to strengthen their immune system, etc. So that makes it for them also easier to understand that there's also something good for good microbes for the skin. The challenge is, you know, giving the consumer what they need, both scientifically and also emotionally, which is complicated. Scientifically, we're not there yet. Science is definitely not there yet where the claims are in the market at the moment in the cosmetic industry. The consumer likes claims like gentle to the microbiome, or protective of the microbiome, or supporting the microbiome, these kinds of things. Will products which make these claims work really work for scientifically, so to say? Mm-hmm. Hard to say. I know, of course, that brands like Dove, and here in Germany, Nivea has also started making claims on essentially claiming mildness of the to the microbiome with their products. They have done their studies, I assume, with 99.9% confidence. But what did they test? How did they test it, etc.? Let's say from a lip product like a wash, shower gel or something. It's all about timing, I guess. So yes, you want to wash your microbes away even without a body wash or without a soap or without just with water, because you're just washing them away. We're shedding them with dead skin cells by the billions as well. So we're constantly killing them, washing them away, and with the body wash you do that too, and then after a certain period of time we'll have recuperated from that, and with a harsh body wash it might take longer, and then with a, let's say, mild body wash, whatever mild means, you might have a product which enables those microbes to recuperate quicker, and then you have that microbiome friendly claim. These work from a scientific point of view. These will also work for the consumer, because they probably worry about that microbiome and they don't want to do anything bad to it. But when it comes to skincare, so a cream which you put on your skin and which makes it clean, like supporting the microbiome, what do you need to do there? Do you need to use prebiotic ingredients? which is food for good bacteria. That is something which is much more complicated, because what is a good bacterium? That's what it starts with. Is Staphylococcus epidermidis a good guy, or is C. acnes, Cutibacterium acnes, maybe a good guy? I think it's very complicated for skincare products to make support, protect, microbiome-friendly kind of claims with, let's say, scientific rigor. That is where we have our approaches with our ingredients, with the studies we did, which we think are the way forward, so to say, scientifically. Of course, we are a company still which tries to sell active ingredients, but we think we found a way of being scientifically correct and satisfactory, so to say, to the consumer. So helping the consumer to get the results they want to have. And they want to have a skincare product which is good for their skin, which is not bad for their microbiome, which can even be good for the microbiome. That's essentially the interpretation we have for that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, how do you approach this trend with your company's active ingredients? What are their unique selling propositions, and then how do they compare with maybe other products on the market?
So we always start with science, and over the course of the last 45 years, we've gained a lot of knowledge and experience with working with bacteria, where we use what would be called probiotic bacteria to develop active ingredients for skincare. So with that knowledge and experience, we continuously try to get to a scientific basis for next generation active ingredients, so to say, where we see that active ingredients based on those probiotic bacteria, lysates essentially, so where the bacterial cells are lysed. With this technology, we see the possibility and for the development of lots of active ingredients, because they are potent. That's at least what we see as compared to other applications or possibilities we look at in our laboratory. So that's one. So with that knowledge and that, let's say, experience when it comes to potency of the active ingredients, we saw that these lysates will help the skin in the epidermis, or the top layer of the skin, where the skin is constantly renewing, right? The cells are moving upwards during about 4 weeks. This process is hugely complex and hugely well organized. And during this process, there's lots of molecules and ingredients which essentially dictate the environment of the skin, and also in the top half of the stratum corneum. So that's a bit inside the skin as well. So in the environment, I mean pH, for instance. So those molecules which regulate pH are produced for a big part in the epidermal renewal process. Mm-hmm. Antimicrobial peptides and all these kinds of things are produced during this process. So the epidermal microbiome, so the microbes which live on top of the skin, and especially also in the top half of the stratum corneum, that's basically as thin as a sheet of paper, but there's still room there for microbes to grow there. This environment is provided by the epidermis for them, and we see with those lysates, those probiotic lysates, the epidermal renewal process, the differentiation process, as they call it, is improved. That means that also, as a logical consequence of that, the ability of the epidermal renewal process in providing a good environment for those microbes is improved as well. Mm-hmm. So what I mentioned before about washing the bacteria or the microbes away and for them to recuperate, that's something what they do from the inside out, essentially, where they are inside the skin, they're moving upwards with the dead skin cells. And if you wash them or kill them on the surface of the skin, they will recuperate from the inside out, like the skin normally also recuperates, recovers from the inside out. If you help the skin in this renewal process, this recovery process, you will do the same for the microbes. It's just a logical consequence of helping the skin. If you help the skin being healthy, you will get a healthy microbiome, or you will keep the microbiome healthy. And that is the approach we have with one of our lysates, which is the English Lactococcus ferment lysate. The product is called ProRenew Complex. And that's what we saw, where we did studies in vitro, but also in vivo, where we looked at skin renewal, quality and speed of the skin renewal process. Mm. But also we looked at the effect it has on the microbiome, where we tape stripped, so we took away the top 70-75% of the stratum corneum. We see that dramatically changes the microbial composition of the skin. Mm. And by applying ProRenew Complex, you see that the skin renews itself, and therefore also the microbiome renews itself. And that's where we see a supporting protecting role of proline complex. What we saw and was also quite surprising is that skin is very good at doing that stuff itself as well. So you see that skin, if it's damaged, it will repair. We're talking about normal, healthy skin, of course. It will repair itself relatively quickly. And you see that the microbiome also is repaired relatively quickly. So it recovers relatively quickly. With a bit of help, it's quicker, so to say. So the lysate, the lactococcus lysate, does help the skin in doing the work it already does quite well, even better. We also saw something in the same study where these prebiotic fructooligosaccharides, which are a food source for certain bacteria and not for others, is leading to a totally skewed composition of the microbiome, which is something we think is not necessarily what we want to have. We want the microbial composition to be at least similar and hopefully the same, but that's virtually impossible because it fluctuates a lot, the microbial composition, as before the stress. And so we think that skin is leading, and we can help the skin in doing its job a bit better. And that is what we did with the proline complex. That's where we're talking about the epidermal microbiome, so those microbes living on top of the skin and in the inside the stratum corneum. If you look at the follicular microbiome, so those microbes which live inside or at the surface of the hair follicles, which is a totally different story, of course, needs also a totally different approach. In the hair follicles, you have the sebaceous glands. That's where sebum is produced. That is where what is now called Cutibacterium acnes feels well, relatively far away from the surface of the skin and therefore relatively far away from oxygen. These live there. They live inside the hair follicle and they play a role in acne. And the Malassezia yeasts, the Globosa, Restricta, they are more at the surface of the hair follicle, but still they are there. They are close to sebum. That is what they need as a food source. And they play a role in dandruff. And as soon as something happens with the microbial composition, especially on the acne level, you see that acne, pimples, pustules start to develop. Mm-hmm. And that is something we put a lot of research in, where we looked at what's happening with Cutibacterium acnes. Essentially, it's not bad, but when sebum production goes up, for instance, during puberty, or for instance, during the menstrual cycle, lots of women suffer from adult acne, as they call it. That is where sebum production goes up, and that's where certain strains of C. acnes start to grow and then start to become a problem. Compounds start forming, and that's where then pustules and papules can start forming, and that's where you have acne. So it's, I think, really important in the context of, first of all, normal, healthy skin, to keep it normal and healthy, and keep, therefore, either sebum production low, that's something you can do with active ingredients, but also the ability for those virulent strains of C. acnes to grow and multiply and even form biofilm, to keep that probability low, and to, in the end, have a preventative effect against acne. So that's a totally different approach where you need to keep the environment under control if you want to prevent acne or even dandruff as well. If you have acne or if you have dandruff, you need to keep, you know, get back to the normal healthy situation. That doesn't mean killing those bacteria, but understanding them and keeping them under control and keeping the downstream effects of these bacteria or disease under control. So this virulent strain of C. acnes produces lots and lots of oleic acid because it consumes lots of sebum and it excretes, as a consequence of that lots of oleic acid. And oleic acid plays multiple negative roles in the context of acne. So we need to understand these roles and we need to then act on those effects. So that's a totally different approach towards the microbiome. Mm-hmm. And that is something we developed a second product for, proline complex for the epidermal microbiome, so to say, and the Cuti biome, which is a new product which we launched essentially 2 weeks ago. So the combination of proline complex and Cuti biome would be, in that sense, a smart approach. Epidermal and follicular microbiome, we see some really interesting results where we made a comparison with the Cuti biome. We compare that with very well-known anti-dandruff active ingredient where we saw similar effects when it comes to its anti-dandruff effect, but better results with the Cuti biome as compared to the benchmark ingredient when it comes to reduction of itching and also reduction of sebum activity. So interesting to see that a natural product, certified natural product, can do as good as a job or even better as compared to a benchmark synthetic ingredient.
Did we cover most of the main topics?
What I want to communicate more or less, or what we try to communicate at CLR, we're typical German maybe, but in the sense that we are the serious guys, that we are serious about the thing and not necessarily just in there because it sounds sexy.
Thank you for joining us. And thank you again to CLR for sponsoring this podcast. To access additional interviews and videos, visit our multimedia page at www.cosmeticsandtoiletries.com/multimedia.